The week begins, Holy Week. And we begin our week by praying that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than a way of life and peace. But for now, it may seem like we're walking in circles. We find ourselves with Jesus and his disciples back at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It seems like we were just there. Wasn't it just a short time ago that we imagined the smell of the fragrant nard filling the small room? Wasn't it just a little over a week ago that we were stunned by Judas's statement and Jesus's odd response? You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Weren't we just here? And here we are again. But we have a little more information. Our reading doesn't stop with Jesus' rebuke of Judas. Tonight, we're not only told what was going on inside the house of the friends of Jesus, we're also told what's going on outside. And we hear that trouble is brewing, and not just for Jesus, but for Lazarus as well. There's a great crowd gathering outside. They've gathered to see Jesus, and they've also gathered to see the man he brought back from the dead. Inside the house, there's food. They've come together as friends to spend time together. Jesus has come to rest, to take comfort in the comfort of friends. Mary's gone over the top with her extravagant gesture of love. And her act of love has caused an awkward rift in this otherwise comfortable gathering. From this point on, nothing will be easy. Nothing will be comfortable. Judas has slipped. He's let down his guard for a moment, and his true colors are now out in the open for everyone to see. He's questioned Mary's act of pure devotion, of pure love, and Jesus rebukes him. This isn't the only time that Jesus rebukes one of his disciples. Peter was quickly called out by Jesus when he could not understand that Jesus would, in fact, walk the way that would lead to his crucifixion. But the rebuking of Judas is different, in part because we know the whole story. And we are given a glimpse into his motivation by the teller of the story. Jesus says, "The poor will always be with you, but you will not always have me." And in that utterance, in that odd prophecy, the dinner guests fall silent. Not another word is uttered from the guests or from Jesus. There's no anxious return to small talk. There's no trying to fill the awkward silence. The silence in the room remains, as though everyone was left speechless. And this time, even Peter didn't try to tell Jesus he was mistaken. And then the scene immediately shifts to what's happening outside. Everyone is becoming anxious. The great crowd of Jews is anxious with the hope that this healer, this restorer of life, this long-awaited Messiah is who they think he is. And the temple leaders are anxious that their well-guarded stability is quickly losing its foothold. Lazarus remains inside. He has no idea that the swelling crowd has any interest in getting a look at him. Perhaps his mind is still blurry from its recent four-day respite. But then again, as far as we know, Lazarus never had a lot to say. He wasn't the chatty type. He was loved by Jesus, and that was enough. There was nothing more to say. He had no idea that this love, this relationship, was causing those outside the doors to want to end his life again. The idea would not even enter his mind. He was just given another chance. Why would anyone want to have him die again now? Did Jesus know? Did Jesus have any idea that the clamor outside was not just for him, but for those whom he loved, for those who were in many ways as innocent as he? Somehow it seems that Lazarus came out of this situation unscathed, or at least not dead again, yet. This is the last we're told of him. And while it's dangerous to fill in the blanks in Scripture with how we would have it go, we might imagine that if Lazarus had been killed with this mob scene, it would have been included in the telling of this story. What we do know is that at some point, at some time, Lazarus did die again. And what we know is that the tension that is mounting between Jesus and the leaders will not go away. We know that the leaders will go through with their threats. Not against Lazarus, perhaps, but certainly against Jesus. And so we begin our Holy Week walking with Jesus on the way to that cross. We meet him this day in the home of his friends, in a comfortable gathering where one of his friends acts on the love that she has been given by him and returns that love in kind. And we see the humanity of this gathered group. And we see our own humanity mirrored in them. There's misunderstanding. There's undermining. There's fear of loss of power and loss of control. There's uncertainty. And we begin to walk. And as we begin to make our way with Jesus, we know all of these human expressions, and we pray that we will find the cross to be none other than the way of life and peace, where our human shortcomings can be put aside and we can move with Christ beyond that cross to new life. Amen.